Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Tonight's guest, Kate Montalt, was a top network TV sports editor. When she woke up to the fact that her successful career-driven existence delivered zero happiness and fulfillment, she then set off on what would become a 30-year spiritual quest to find both. And in the process, she discovered that we are not who we think we are. A dauntless explorer of inner and outer worlds, Kate Montana is the author of The E-Word, Ego, Enlightenment and Other Essentials, and Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within. She's also the co-author of The Heart of the Matter with Dr. Darren Weissman. The former editor of the Bleepin' Herald newsletter for the hit indie movie What the Bleep Do We Know, Kate has worked with plant medicines with shamans in the Amazon jungles of Peru, the Andes in Ecuador, and the deserts of New Mexico. She studied yoga in India, explored ancient South African ruins on horseback, hiked solo through England's sacred sites, and much, much more. She also has a master's degree in psychology and writes and teaches about the ego, transpersonal and transcendent consciousness, and quantum physics. If you've ever wondered why peace and happiness elude us, and why people today are so divided, stay tuned as Kate Montana joins me to talk about how, as an entire species, we have forgotten who we really are. Kate Montana, welcome.
Sandy, it's great to be on the show. Thank you.
So, Kate, we're not who we think we are. Let's talk about that. Who are we, and why don't we know who we really are?
Oh, well, the mystics have had it right for thousands of years that, you know, it's not an illusion, this world we live in and these bodies, in that, you know, they don't exist. But what is an illusion is that, well, for one, it's not really physical. It just has the appearance of physicality. And two, we're not really separate from one another, even though we've, you know, got skin boundaries and we could swear that, you know, we're not attached to one another. So, yeah, we start off with the illusion right from the get-go as soon as we come into the world as little tiny infants. So, yes, the physical body gives us the lie that we're separate and individual, and which gives us the game. We have a great time in these bodies, but it also, you know, puts us at odds with ourselves and with actually reality. So who we think we are, wow, that's... because anybody's guess until we finally live long enough and kind of go on a quest to discover the real answer.
How many times do we say to people, who do you think you are? We're not really asking the question, are we? Not the right question.
No. But, well, heck, I didn't ask the right questions for the first 30 years of my life. I was just a, you know, typical material girl out there, plugging away in the world in my career in TV and thinking that having money and a, you know, a nice house and a swimming pool was it, until that, of course, didn't satisfy the way I thought it should. And society's happiness formula failed me like it does so many people. And then, of course, I went off on a spiritual quest then and in my early 30s and gave myself a real drubbing for another 15 years, chasing the E-word enlightenment, because I thought that was the answer to all of my, you know, it was the answer to my unhappiness. It was going to be the answer to my confusion. Why wasn't I happy? Why did I feel unfulfilled? Why did, you know, I succeed at certain things and then big deal, you know, a month later or 5 minutes later or a year later, it no longer satisfied. And there was a emptiness and a hunger in me for more, but I didn't know what. And I know that I'm like pretty much every other human being on the planet with that. And so when I fell into becoming a spiritual person, which, hint, isn't who we are either. But I thought I was well on I thought I was well on my way to becoming the real deal when I became a spiritual person, because the physical hadn't given me what I wanted and had only made me confused and sort of unhappy. And so I didn't realize that the spiritual journey was just as much of a big rabbit hole, creating more questions than answers, actually, for a very long time, until I stopped chasing answers, which after 15 years, that took a long time for me to settle down and finally just, you know, that elusive S word, surrender. Wow, Sandy, so we put ourselves on such a journey.
Go on.
Yes. We put ourselves on some, you know, I drove myself so hard, and because I was so unhappy and so lost, and the next thing is going to answer my questions and my insecurities, you know, the next accomplishment, the next time I lose 20 pounds, the next lover, the next diamond ring, the, you know, the next retreat, the next spiritual book I read, the next house I own, the next blissful moment in samadhi, those are going to be the answers. And then the rest of life happens. And, you know, so I just was going from one prize to the next, thinking that this is it. This is it. No, this is going to be it.
Do you think, Kate, I mean, you know, in my journey, I have met so many people who started off with, you know, with intensely religious upbringing. And when, for whatever reason, that, you know, that religion seemed to not meet their needs, they've turned to, quote, spirituality, whether it's because they think it's less judgmental, more open, much softer, more welcoming, I don't know. But do you think that there's a kind of natural progression here, or can we, you know, leapfrog certain stages along the way to achieve a measure of enlightenment?
You know, yes, the answer is I think we can leapfrog, and the answer is also yes, it's a process. I myself had a religious background, Catholic and Episcopalian. I went to a Catholic convent school. I left it behind as rapidly as I could as a young adult, because religion had never really made much sense to me. And it was a natural progression to become, to go into New Age spirituality. And yes, it is definitely a progression in the more evolved direction, because even though we think we're spiritual people, which indicates that I'm still thinking of myself in physical terms and as a separate individual, I'm seeking unity. The spiritual mindset recognizes the basic essential oneness of all life and all people. And most importantly, the spiritual mindset has vaulted out of the very, very ancient and very destructive mentality that, you know, the ultimate separation is between man and woman and God, God being out there somewhere in the universe looking down on us and judging our actions and punishing and rewarding us accordingly. So, yeah, the spiritual mindset, wow, what a breakthrough. When I left the church behind, I was actually working at a TV station in Atlanta, Georgia, and as an editor. And after the 11 o'clock news every night, I would drive home down Peachtree Road, and the Episcopal Cathedral was, like, dominating my view with this enormous lit cross on the tower for about a mile going up Peachtree Road. And I was in the midst of just setting aside my Episcopalian, typical Christian mentality and thoughts, and it was embracing this whole, oh my God, I am God idea, and that, you know, Jesus is my brother and not so much my savior kind of thing. It was terrifying, Sandy. I would drive towards that cross every night and go, oh my God, I think I'm being tempted by the devil. Oh my God, what am I doing having these thoughts, reading these books that are leading me away from what I'd been trained to believe, even though it was seemed like the most intoxicating, sensible, freeing, loving journey and step forward into real life. So yes, the spiritual mindset is a huge doorway to freedom and a much more expansive way of viewing the self, the personal self, than religion. That said, and I talk about this in the book, The E-Word, that said, if when we come out of the gate and the constrictions of normal religion, which again is predicated in this intense belief in separation between not only individuals, but humans and God and the divine, if we hit that point in our lives where that kind of mentality and those stories of separation and suffering and pain and punishment and reward, heaven and hell, no longer work for us. They don't make any sense any longer. And we hit that yearning to know who we really are. That's the crux point that we all should hope we get to, is asking that fundamental, most important question any human being can ever ask. Who am I? And in that moment, coming out of the safety zone of known pat religious thought, instead of embracing the next, you know, the spiritual mindset, well, now I'm not a religious person, now I'm a spiritual person. That still comes with its own rules and regulations and dogma.
I'm going to hold you right there, Kate. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author Kate Montana about her latest book, The E-Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Kate Montana, you say that all human conflict and suffering stems from not knowing who we really are and misunderstanding the nature of the world. Can we really lay all of humanity's problems at the door of lack of self-understanding?
Well, if you ask me, yes. Think about it.
Go ahead. I am asking you.
I know you are. I know. If you think about it, how is it possible to live a rich, satisfying life if we don't even know who we are? That is so fundamental. And what happens is we get caught up in these identities, which is the ego. The ego is simply our personal sense of self. It's our story about ourselves. You know, we identify as our name, as our gender, our ethnic persuasion, our religion, our socioeconomic bracket. I'm a woman, I'm a writer, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Leo, those sort of things. That's the human ego story. And there's nothing wrong with the ego as far as there's a lot of ego bashing going on in a lot of arenas nowadays, but the sense of personal self is essential for us to be able to exist and walk and talk and chew gum and have conversations. If we didn't have a structure that we could identify as the individual boundaried self, then we wouldn't be able to sanely interact with the rest of the world and with each other. So the ego itself is great. Now, what happens is we get mired in the story of who we think we are, and the problems arise when we believe that all we are is that skin-boundaried, standalone unit called a human being, Kate Montana, white chick, Episcopalian, spiritual person, writer, etc. We lose if we don't ask the question, who am I? Then we are essentially limited for the rest of our lives to simply play out the story of who we think we are. It does grow and evolve. As we get older, we do more things, we have more experience. But our sense of self is always based in the past, on what we've done, what we've been taught, what we think we are. And to ask the question, and what I was saying earlier, it's so easy to get caught up in spiritual dogma. We leave religious dogma about who we are. We are we're not worth the crumbs underneath the Lord's table. We were made of clay and whatever else God threw in the mix to create us. We go from that story, and then we go to a spiritual story. We are souls on a journey. We are incarnated beings from Alpha Centauri, whatever the story is. That's all great, but we can get caught in spiritual dogma equally as well as we can get caught up in religious dogma. So what I really advocate in the book is, if it's possible, when we hit wherever we are in life, when we hit that first question mark of, wow, religion isn't doing it for me, who am I, why am I so unhappy, what's really going on here? Instead of moving into spiritual dogma and pursuits, there's another option, which is to simply contemplate who we really are. Look at science and what quantum physics is saying about the nature of reality. Quantum physics, modern science, is telling us that we are all essentially one unified consciousness, that there is no such thing as physicality. The material world really is a world of appearances, and there's nothing really tangible about us at all. And this flesh suit that, I'm sitting here looking at my hands, and I could swear that my hands aren't connected to the piece of paper or my desk or anything else, that there's a boundary to me, but it's an illusion, because ultimately science has told us and informed us that it's all a quantum sea of boundaryless, interconnected intelligence, energy at the most foundational level. So we don't have to become spiritual people. We can do that journey if we want, but essentially the real liberation comes when we start investigating that one question, who am I? Start going past the story and start looking at what life and science is telling us about the nature of reality. Then the question mark becomes very, very vast and begins to open the door to an internal journey. It's an internal journey. Religion can't tell us who we are, and neither can spiritual precepts or different Eastern religion, Eastern spirituality versus et cetera. It's all within us, Sandy, and that's the place we have to start turning.
I agree with you, and you were a dauntless meditator for 20 years, and many people advocate meditation as the way within, and yet one day you just stopped. Why?
Yeah.
Why, if going within was what you needed to do?
Like so much in this whole kind of conversation, it is and it isn't. My path was my path, and yes, I meditated my tail end off for 20 years. I pursued enlightenment fiercely, because that I perceived was going to offer me all of the answers. And it was going to give me happiness and bliss and knowledge to, and answers to all the questions in my mind. So I pursued enlightenment as if my life depended on it, which I suppose it, in the end, it really does. And yet I was so aggressive and masculine and intellectual and in my head about it that I was so driven that I drove myself right into a wall. And it became incredibly, intensely frustrating. And as you say, one morning, and I write about it in my book, the breakthrough came when I just said, to hell with it. And I flopped down on my meditation mat one morning at 4 a.m. and said, to hell with it. I didn't do anything. I just closed my eyes and gave up. And Kate Montana actually just literally disappeared. All separation, all striving, all struggle, all that pursuit, Sandy, is something. When we pursue something, when we pursue truth, when we pursue God, when we pursue anything, we are concretizing, we're solidifying the being doing the pursuing. So I'm pursuing unity, okay? So that means I'm pursuing unity with God, nirvana, enlightenment. But me, Kate Montana, doing the pursuing, the striving, the struggling, the seeking, continues to solidify and concretize the me, separate me, doing the seeking towards unity, which guarantees that I will never reach unity. That's why when I finally surrendered that amazing morning back in 1997, it was like, oh, I get it. Oh, my God. And it was nothing I could do. You can't. That's the joke. You can't make yourself surrender. Surrender is just something that happens. And then the rest. Don't you know, after that morning, Sandy, I spent at least another year right back in the striving seat, driving myself mercilessly to get back to that place of surrender. Until again, I finally just gave it up. And the more I learned that way of just letting go all intention and pursuit and goal, the more the real me I became.
So in your 30-year pursuit, at what moment did you truly feel, aha, I know who I am? And how did you know? I mean, what was happening
was that morning
within you to tell you that? It was that morning, yeah?
It was that morning. Because when the story of Kate Montana and all the words in my head and the me that was striving to become enlightened, when all of that fell away, Sandy, all there was and all there really is at the fabric of all of existence is this sweet consciousness I am. Awareness of existence. There is not, Kate Montana is aware of existence. There is simply a unified presence that's no longer hooked up to any sense of personal identity, not identified with a body or a name or a religion or anything. All of that is gone. And that was the joke about enlightenment, because in that place, it was so apparent, I am. End of story. I mean, what did God supposedly say when Moses asked his name? I am that I am. That's it. And when the personality drops away and our separate, what we hold on to because we think this is what we are, when all of that disappears, even for a moment, it's unmistakable. When the truth I am is there, it's like all of the BS falls away, and it's like, oh, duh. But the only way that there is a reflection, oh, duh, that's Kate Montana already back in her human persona, looking back at that oneness moment. It's not an experience, because an experience means somebody's around to have the experience, and the experience was nobody around. That's whatsoever. Simply, I am. It's so bloody tricky. But it was so obvious, Sandy. And the joke when I came back, when Kate Montana re-solidified, was, oh, my God, well, what am I going to do now? I want to get back there. But there's no I in there to get. How am I going to do this? Which is why I drove myself so crazy for the next year trying to get back there until I just had to laugh and go, you know, Kate, you can't get yourself to the – you just got to let everything go. And that's the only way you're going to come to truth. And the more I surrendered, the more then every morning I would just fall into this blissful non-dual state of consciousness. And then I'd come back, you know, after a couple of hours and be me, Kate Montana, with all my, you know, issues about bills and my business and, you know, what I want to do and my relationship and my unhappiness and my struggles. And the difference between the two states of consciousness, non-dual reality versus separate perception of the self, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind to this day. It's, you know, it's so real when you're in it. I mean, come on, Sandy. I could swear to God I'm sitting here in my car on my way to California, pulled over to the side of the road, talking to you, and there's an outside world, and you're on the other end of the line, and there's separate people listening. I could swear this is how it really is. And it is in this perspective. But there's another grander perspective wherein all of this shows up as the appearance, the illusion that it really is. It's not. It's a reality, not the reality.
We'll come back to this in a moment, Kate. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest is author Kate Montana. And we're talking about the ego, evolution, and making sense of our times. We'll be back in a few moments.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, you know, your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Kate Montana, in the E Word, you write, 99% of all spiritual people in the world should get over wanting enlightenment. Awaken teachers, if you can find one, rarely bother trying to explain enlightenment because they know it's not what most people want. So what do most people want?
I would say most people want what I've always wanted, which is happiness, fulfillment, the opportunity to be creative, to be in companionable interconnection with like-minded people, to be part of a family, both personal and a larger community, to feel valuable, to be adventurous, to explore, be curious, be happy, be loving. Those things are what I think most people long for, self-expression. And that's what I thought enlightenment was going to give me. I thought enlightenment was the be-all, end-all answer to all of my human problems. And in one respect, it is definitely that. The joke is, however, there's no one left standing at the end. Enlightenment is death, period. We you know, people say, oh, death of the ego, I want that. We really, 99% of us probably don't want that. Because we want to experience liberation. I wanted to experience liberation. And damn if when liberation occurred, there was no I around to enjoy it.
To experience
Kate Montana, yes, Kate Montana wasn't home. There's liberation, and then there is Kate Montana, and never the twain shall meet. Kate Montana is never going to be ultimately liberated. Now, Kate Montana, the ego, can be expanded, not inflated, not like, oh, wow, look at me, I'm so great and grand. But the ego can literally be expanded into a intermediate stage of consciousness between the limited, boundaried ego that's all about me, 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 I, me, 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 myself, and egoless, transcendent unity consciousness. There's actually a middle ground. And I didn't discover this middle ground until I was sitting and writing the E word. And I hearkened back to my psychology background when I was working on my master's degree in humanistic psychology. And I had read this guy I love, this Dr. Abraham Maslow. And everything that he said about the evolution of the consciousness of the ego structure made so much sense to me 30 years ago. And all of a sudden it clicked into place and I was like, oh my God, there really is a middle ground between the limited, unhappy personal self and the boundaryless, selfless state of enlightenment. And it's called the transpersonal stage of consciousness. So that was an enormous aha for me, because being a spiritual person, I had been and raised in a very patriarchal, left-brain, right-wrong, left-right, up-down, black-and-white, intellectual, very structured mental society. It was either I was going to be me, my miserable ego self, or I was going to be enlightened. There was this all or nothing perspective. And it is all or nothing. You're either in the ego or you're not here at all. So it was amazing to discover that there really is a state of mind, Sandy, where human beings like me and like you can be freed from the illusions that the ego prescribes us and the unhappiness and the limitations. And we can expand our sense of who we are and become more aligned with the truth that we are boundaryless and limitless, and start aligning our daily thoughts and perceptions of ourselves and life, and align it with what science has been telling us for the last 100 years, that we are quantum beings, we are energy and information. We really are infinite. We really are boundaryless. And start aligning our day-to-day perceptions with that deeper truth that the mystics like Jesus and Buddha, Lao Tzu, have been talking about for thousands of years. And that was one of the things that excited me most about writing the E word, is that it's impossible to teach enlightenment. It's impossible to attain enlightenment, but it is possible to teach and attain this beautiful, much more expansive state of mind called transpersonal awareness. And this is where joy comes. This is where peace and fulfillment and happiness and struggle and striving fall away, and we experience this true interconnection with ourselves and life and other people. That's, wow, that's a great life. That's the, that's the attainment of heaven on earth. Enlightenment happens when it happens as it happens. We can't make it happen. And then you're out of here. It's not about living a happy life. That's over. So that's why I say in the book that 99% of people on the spiritual path really aren't looking for enlightenment. They're not looking for death. They're looking for a beautiful life as themselves. So that's what the transpersonal gives. And I, throughout the book, I tried my doggondest to have exercises and meditations that coach people into this middle ground stage of awareness where they can have it all.
So you talk about how the ego can be managed and expanded into mm-hmm. what you say is transpersonal consciousness. What does that have to do with making sense of the times we're in today? I mean, ego, the search for enlightenment, all of these things have been around for as long as humans have. What has that got to do with today specifically?
Well, we're at the point in our species evolution where if we don't begin to understand who we really are, if we don't grasp the nature of the ego and how limited it is, and that it is simply a story in our heads about who we think we are. And fundamentally, Sandy, the ego is comes into being the moment we come into this life as tiny babies. We come out of the birth canal and there's this onslaught of physical messaging, eyes, ears, nose, throat, skin, tongue, tells us, oh my God, I'm physical, totally unconscious. The second message that our baby bodies gives us is, I am separate. You know, I reach for the bottle or the breast, the milk I need and hunger for, and it's outside of me. My mommy and daddy are outside of me. Now, this is a totally unconscious perception. But this is the unconscious perception that drives every human being on the planet 24/7, their entire lives. Our bodies give us two messages. I am physical and I am separate. Now, here is the crux of what's wrong with the ego and where we get into such trouble, is because if our unconscious understanding about who we are is I am separate, I am alone, you're over there, I'm over here. I can be wounded. I can be hurt. I'm vulnerable, and therefore I'm frightened. So fear is a very powerful driver for competition, aggression, building walls, boundaries. The ego that has not become more awakened and understood that there's more to life than having a foreign car in the garage and a 401k and a vacation home in Bali. If we're still at those limited, look at me, I'm great, driven by self-improvement needs, driven by material needs, because what's basically driving most of humanity right now, Sandy, is our emptiness, is our fragileness, is our vulnerability. We believe that we're alone and that we really have to just go like hell and make it happen so that we'll survive. And we've got a classic example of why this is no longer going to work for us and why we have to get a handle on this now, not later, not next century, now, is we've got the quintessential limited, fear-driven, fear-based ego sitting in the White House in the United States right now. No judgment, but Donald Trump is a very isolated, boundaried human being. He thinks he is it. He doesn't see any connection between himself and the rest of the world and other people, which is why he is driven to compete, to have and be the best at everything, to talk about himself endlessly, to bolster his own vulnerability and self-insecurity. That's why he's always talking about wars, weapons, and building walls. That his perceived reality. That's a great percentage of the majority of human beings on our planet right now. We perceive ourselves as separate and alone fundamentally at an unconscious level. We identify with our human story, our personal story, Kate Montana, writer and traveler and all this. And I think that's it. And that's something I have to defend to the death, because it is death if that gets threatened in any way, who I think I am. So we are at a critical time when we're like five-year-old infant egos with our chubby fingers on the nuclear codes. Our technology has brought us to the place where we've got to grow up. We've got to ask the who am I question. We have got to understand the structure and nature of the ego. It's a tool of consciousness, nothing more and nothing less. It enables us to have these amazing, fabulous lives. And it also shoots us to hell and will blow us up if we think that's all there is and we're still in this defensive, castle-making, king-making posturing that is all about insecurity and fear based in the illusion of what the body gives us 24/7 from the moment we get spit out of the birth canal. I am physical. I am separate and alone. Therefore, I am vulnerable. We've got to understand this is our messaging and then learn how to deal with it and go beyond it to the deeper truth that the mystics have been telling us for thousands of years. And now, bless quantum physicists' hearts, yeah, science is telling us, yes, there is more to us. No, there are no boundaries. There are no limits. No, you're not alone. You really are one with others and with the earth. And when we begin to educate ourselves at this time, then we're going to set ourselves free.
We'll come back to this after the break. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author Kate Montana about her latest book, The E-Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. We'll be back shortly.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Kate Montana, clearly you're advocating that many of us need to wake up and we need to find out the truth about who we are. And many are seeking to do that. But you also say that self-improvement and manifestation don't work. Is there a bit of a dichotomy there, or can you explain that to me?
The reason... Boy, if I have read one self-improvement article in a magazine in the last 25 years, I've read 100. If I have done one vision board to manifest things. I have done 50. And I couldn't help, like most people, be puzzled why sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes when I decide that I'm going to go in this direction, I'm going to lose 25 pounds and look fabulous at the gym and have flat abs, and then a couple months later, then I kind of fall off the wagon. Why the things I want to manifest don't show up? And the reason it is so obvious, but it's only obvious from a certain perspective, is self-improvement. Most people are trying to improve who they think they are. Kate Montana, white chick, spiritual person, writer, 5'8", 20 pounds overweight, okay? That's my ego. That's my personal story. I'm trying to improve my personal story, which ultimately, get ready for it, the drum roll, is an illusion. So we wonder why self-improvement usually doesn't really work very well or is sustainable, is because we're dealing with our superficial stories about ourselves. We're actually dealing with an illusion about ourselves. We never tap into the deeper, vast, so beautifully satisfying, scintillating presence that is who we really are, which is simply, I am consciousness, awareness, life force. That is the most extraordinary consciousness to express from. That is what changes things when we desire change, not the ego mind. I am that infinite source, void, potential, is what manifests. Now, my ego, as my ego Kate, so say I want a house in Bali. That's the ego's desire, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's great. We evolve by having personal experiences, and we're here to enjoy this gig on planet Earth. So if that's not the problem. Now, to manifest it, if I think Kate Montana is going to manifest that bloody house in Bali, I've got another thing coming. I am that source intelligence is what is going to magnetize and bring that field of consciousness that I am is what's going to magnetize that house in Bali. Now, Kate Montana's ego job is to, oh, I really do think I want a house on Bali, and this is some of the things I can do. I can start contacting a real estate agent. I can do physical stuff that aligns with the desire for a vacation home. Maybe it's really not in Bali. Maybe spirit magnetizes something to me in Hawaii or Tahiti. That's not the point. Letting go. The ego's job is to have the desire and do whatever it takes in the physical and let I am give credit where credit is due, surrender into that vastness of who we really are and let off the throttle a bit. Let it go. We talk about surrender and letting go, but then we hold on to the throttle like, you know, like we're in a death dive and that we're still in control. And that's all about being confused about who we really are. Yes, we're this ego. Yes, we're the story. Yes, we have desires, but there's this enormous, what some people call the higher self, the deeper self, the true self, that is its job is to do the magnetizing because it's one with everything.
So
there is no separation in that deeper space. Yeah.
You say that desirelessness is a natural characteristic of the awakened mind. So are you saying, are you referring to it's the ego that, you know, that has the desire? So you let go of that, you become desireless. And you allow the I am to create whatever. I mean, you know, how can you be completely desireless?
You can't. Absolutely, you cannot. The ego can never be desireless. The ego cannot be selfless. You know, we can, in spiritual circles, we confuse, I don't want to be selfish with selflessness. And so we go around as spiritual beings trying to be selfless all the time. It's impossible for a self to be selfless. when enlightenment occurs and there is no self, which you didn't accomplish, then there is selflessness, and then there is desirelessness. But if there is still any sense of ego, persona, identity left, there is desire, if only for desirelessness. So, yes, it's the ego's job
to lose ego.
It happens, yes, absolutely, but I can't do it. That's the trick. That's why surrender is so important. Enlightenment happens when it happens. The state of unity consciousness occurs when it occurs. I can't make it happen. It's impossible for me to make it happen.
So what then? What then is so transpersonal consciousness that you talk about?
Transpersonal is the middle ground where I begin to see that I am connected with other people. Bernie Sanders is a great example of a transpersonal human being. He is about unification. He sees and is concerned about all life and other people as he is for himself. He sees the essential unification of humanity and the need to act in a concerned and humane fashion to take care of the whole, as opposed to a Donald Trump who is in the more immature stage of the ego when it's all about me, 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 and what I can have because I'm coming from fear. My isolated self is driving that fear and boundaries. Bernie is a classic example of a transpersonal being who has set aside that illusion.
And
he's coming from his heart.
You say that transpersonal consciousness
mm-hmm.
is the true generator of peace, happiness, and unification within. So what can you offer us that will help us begin to move toward transpersonal awareness?
Well, you should get my book. Read the E word. It's what it's all about. It truly is what it's all about. Is, you know, ask yourself the question, who am I? It doesn't take, you know, a $10,000 retreat to do this. You can do this in your bathroom in the morning. Close your eyes and go within and ask that question, who am I? Be quiet for a few moments. 15 minutes a day. If you can manage it, an hour, wonderful. You know, there's so many exercises I do in the book. For example, you want to get in touch with I am in that deeper place. Is write down a list of all the things you think you are. I am a woman. I am a writer. I'm a resident of Washington State. I'm a Leo. I'm a Democrat. Write down all those things and then say those things out loud and feel the energy of the story that follows I am. I am Kate Montana. And then just say, I am. Don't follow it with anything. And there's this brief moment of spaciousness, emptiness, all potential, but simplicity. That's who we really are. And that spacious, more interconnected sense of who we are is what the transpersonal is all about. Another great exercise is when you're out walking. I do this all the time. I'll see a beautiful flower or a tree or a bird will fly overhead, and I'll just acknowledge and go, you're so beautiful, or a beautiful sunset. Oh, my God, it's so beautiful. But it's me I'm looking at in the deeper reality. So to train the brain and the mind to acknowledge this, this is the transpersonal journey, to start training the mind to see the connectedness rather than the isolation and separation. So in those moments of a beautiful sunset, I go, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. I stop and I acknowledge I'm also that sunset. And I go, I am so beautiful. That's acknowledging the truth. And if we do that consistently over and over, there's martial arts techniques called soft eyes that give us actually a way of letting our visual perception of our interconnection, actually the energy of the world, in, rather than fixing our gaze on something, the wall clock or your computer or your coffee mug, whatever, or another person, soften your gaze and just let the world in. So there's martial art techniques that actually train us to expand our minds and our perception into a more inclusive, boundaryless way of perceiving our unification in the world. It's all about this kind of reminding. That's why I'm so jazzed. It's like, oh my God, we can train ourselves to see our connection. We can induce brainwave states that are whole brainwave states that will start bringing us into this inclusive, integrated mindset. It's so doable. That's what's so exciting. And then enlightenment, that comes when it happens. But in the meantime, we can train ourselves to this delicious, integrated, connected space that, you know, then all the fear and insecurity just can fall away.
Kate Montana, we're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid. I love talking with you. I always enjoy talking with you. Thank you for joining us.
I always love
today,
talking
Kate.
With you. Thank you,
thank
Sandy.
Thank you, Kate. Good luck with the book.
Thank you. Take care.
The E Word, Ego, Enlightenment and Other Essentials is published by Atria Books, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster and is available wherever good books are sold. For more information about Kate Montana, her work, and to sign up for her newsletter, visit Kate Montana, Kate with a C, A-T-E, Montana.com. You've been listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.